Hey there, how you doing? Tuesday, time to rock and roll once again. Listen to this. Listen to this. We're going to have on a little later, Mark Fitch from the Yankee Institute. He's got a great new piece on conflict of interest at yankeeinstitute.org. And there are some sound cuts from 2014 of Union Joe Arisimowitz, back when he was the majority leader, before he became speaker a couple of years ago. But listen to this. He's speaking to a union crowd.
You guys have a great union, proud members. You've made this state what it is.
Bankrupt.
Don't let it go away with one election.
It can't go away, obviously, with one election. The bankruptcy is here to stay, whether Democrats go away or not. Oh, my Lord. Listen, this is unreal.
Stand together. Stand as brothers and sisters and be a family and make sure we're looking out for our own. Thank you.
You hear that? You are not their own. Their own are people who are in the rigged system, for whom the system is rigged. The reason you owe $100 billion, having received no product, no tangible asset, no benefit for that $100 billion, you just have the debt somebody handed it to you. Here you go. You owe $100 billion. For nothing. You got nothing. That's so that this system of debauchery, of thuggery, of theft, of criminality, of corruption can be state sanctioned.
You guys have a great union, proud members. You've made this state what it is. Don't let it go away with one election.
Anybody who ever says he supports the unions, well, we have to defer. No, this is a criminal enterprise for which there are no laws in opposition, because the people who make the laws are the ones committing the crimes. This is so obvious. So the old-fashioned corruption was somebody would hand a politician money, the politician would get something for them they don't deserve. That was the corruption that got stamped out, right? You can't do that anymore. You can't write a check directly to a politician. All you can do now is write the check into his campaign account. And you get all your friends to write a check into his campaign account. And you can write a check from your company into the political party and earmark it from the political party to his campaign account. And they can give more than you can. That's all fine. And it doesn't matter what kind of deal you make. It doesn't matter what kind of corruption is behind it, because the Speaker of the House is in the bag.
I say at all these meetings and groups that I've talked to, I will never allow an anti-collective bargaining bill to be called to the House floor.
Collective bargaining for public sector workers is a system of theft designed to rob, blind, and destroy the political entity for which it exists. And before it finally brings the political entity to its knees, like collective bargaining has done to the state of Connecticut, it has ruined the political system by rigging the elections. Because that's what this is for. This is for rigging elections. So ever since the start of public sector unions in the state, they've been tilting the balance in elections. They turn out to work. They donate money. A piece of every union due makes its way into the pockets of the politicians and the political parties. It's an election rigging scheme. And to imagine that the guy who runs the state, effectively, Speaker of the House, is the most powerful guy in the state, for that guy to say this?
I say at all these meetings and groups that I've talked to, I will never allow an anti-collective bargaining bill to be called to the House floor.
In other words, he will never state. He's promising up front before he became speaker. This is 5 years ago. He promised as majority leader that he would never work to save the state from the plunderers because he is the head plunderer. He is the chief plunderer. Why do you put up with this? That's what I want to know. What is it about human beings that we sit there passively while being robbed and beaten up? Why do we do that? If there is the slightest error of legitimacy, this is part of what makes me a Trump supporter, because the same sense of propriety and dignity that we all want, I want a president who can behave better than Trump does. I do. But I don't know how we save ourselves from the rigors. How do we save ourselves from the rigors if all they need to hide is to put on a nice suit and to speak nicely? How do we do that? How do we know the difference between the friend who's wearing a suit and the snake who's wearing a suit? If all you have to do to qualify to be president of the United States is to dress up nicely and read a teleprompter beautifully, how do we know what's actually going on? They use our instinctive judgments about who to trust and who not. They use those against us. They cultivate an incredible ability to pose as somebody trustworthy. Like any performer, politicians are performers. And they learn how to lie to you so that you believe them. Even when they, a minute later, are sitting out back saying, "Can you believe I said that?" And they applauded. Like, they believe me. And here is a guy saying he is against the best interests of the state of Connecticut, that he hates the state. He wants to destroy it because the state is not his friend. He's a, what is he?
"You guys have a great union, proud members. You've made this state what it is. Don't let it go away with one election. Please, stand together, stand as brothers and sisters, and be a family, and make sure we're looking out for our own. Thank you."
He is part of a family, just like the Cosa Nostra. He is the family. They are the family. $100 billion. There has never been bigger economic destruction that's happened anywhere than what unions at the state level have done to the country. And nowhere is it more vivid than in Connecticut. And here is the guy who runs the state admitting that he doesn't offer his services for the benefit of the state. He won't do what the state requires. Wisconsin, when Scott Walker got rid of the unions, what was that, like 10 years ago now? Remember them all filling the state house, the state capitol in Wisconsin, in Madison? You remember that? It packed in there protesting like the most horrible thing in the world was happening because an attack on the working man. The working man. The rigged system working man. As opposed to the regular working man who has to make his own way and survive and pay the tolls. Scott Walker got rid of the unions, and they went from being in trouble on their unfunded liabilities to being the best in the country on unfunded liabilities. And these guys have the gall to say, "Well, we can't go down that path. Can't go down that path."
"Allow an anti-collective bargaining bill to be called to..."
Sorry, I hit that wrong.
I will never
do what's best for the state of Connecticut.
"I will never allow an anti-collective bargaining bill to be called to the House floor."
How do you permit this? I mean, it's not his state. It's his union. He doesn't belong to the state. He belongs to the family. He belongs to the family. Where did he say that? Let me see if I can find it again.
"Stand together, stand as brothers and sisters, and be a family, and make sure we're looking out for our own. Thank you."
We are, there it is again. He's not looking out for you. He doesn't care about you. He will never do what's right for you.
"And be a family, and make sure we're looking out for our own. and make sure we're looking out for our own. And make sure we're looking out for our own.
Too bad you're not on his favored citizen list. Too bad you're not one of the special few. 860-522-9842. Stay with us on WTIC. Isn't that amazing, though? Like, how did it happen that the state ethics board, which isn't a real ethics board, it's some kind of junior ethics board. Like, how did this guy ever get this position? And I guess the answer is because that's the way the state works. So you might as well have the direct rigging of the system rather than have it be convoluted behind doors in back rooms. Rob calling from Waterbury. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Well, I'm kind of aggravated listening to this, aren't you?
No, I'm actually can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I listen to your show a lot. I am a state worker. I am a union member. We've talked before, and you've told me to call in again. I've actually called in a few times. One, I just want to let you know, and I can't hear you that great, that one, the money can't be taken out of union dues for election. It's basically out of a PAC fund that the members want to put in, and not a lot goes into there, okay? Not a lot of people put in. You know, there are fundraisers that the candidates do, et cetera. The other part I just wanted to talk to you about unions, you know, I started with the state in the 80s, and the union started before that, and it wasn't about money, Todd. It was about getting equipment on the floor to help those. I work for, you know, those with disabilities. It's the proper equipment for those individuals, the proper staffing to be able to get.
But Rob, what difference does that make given where we are? Talk about the present.
The present. Everyone looks at state workers like, we make so high money. I mean, myself, I am a social worker. I cannot do overtime. So,
well, Rob, I haven't said anything about. I haven't mentioned state workers.
Well, you do. Well, you do quite a bit, Todd. And I know that our deficit is in a hard area, and I don't agree a lot with, you know, in what areas we need to take and give and so on. But I'm just talking about where unions came from, and if you look across the board. You know, the unions in Connecticut, whether you're a state worker or so on, they came to, one, protect workers' rights, but the majority of the unions came in, and what I do as a union person, and I'm just a member, is to try to get services better for the people we serve.
Well, that's wonderful. What they are is an election rigging scheme that has destroyed the state financially. So whatever the intent was, and I don't believe all those necessarily those nice intents, that might be what you feel, and so you project that feeling onto them. But just like Democrats run around now and say they have to further bankrupt the state and drive more people out of the state who won't be able to afford to live here because of the compassion they feel requiring them to put tolls in and to throw in another $1 billion worth of sales taxes. That's all their love and compassion. Yeah. It's like getting hit over the head with a hammer, and they're saying this is love and compassion. At some point, you have to walk away from the rhetoric and say what we're getting is economic destruction, rigged systems, bigger government every single day, government that is not just unnecessary, but is ruining the state.
But, Todd, can I ask you this? You know, you talk about the Democrats and, you know, with CBAC, you hear CBAC all the time, but Senator John Rowland, Jody Rao, they were the ones who gave CBAC into its being. John Rowland created it. He's the one who signed off on it.
Yeah, well, he signed off on a lot of bad things. I don't know how it worked before compared to how it works now. I know that John Rowland did some horrible things by acting like a Democrat when he was in office, and that was bad. But cut the Republicans a little slack because they're trying to survive in a world that doesn't belong to them. Okay, the world was created and rigged by Democrats. These unions belong to the Democrats. They are wholly owned subsidiaries of the Democratic Party. They were created to rig elections. So whether some, you know, by accident something good happened 40 years ago because a union existed, I don't see how it compensates for $100 billion of debt and the economic destruction of the state.
Can I say one last thing, Todd, before
sure.
I go? Okay, I listen to your show. I like it. What I would like to see you come to the state of Connecticut, and I would like to call in again and talk to you, but you come to the state of Connecticut and run for public office. If you want change, come and make change. I know that you say, and it doesn't matter if you live out of state, but if you feel that much for Connecticut to make a change, come to Connecticut and make that change.
Well, I think I'm doing much more with this than I can do running for public office. So I think,
you know what, each person has their position on what they feel, and that's what the United States is about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, fine. And I understand that your views fuel...
No, but this has nothing to do with that. This has to do with the structural theft that goes on, the built-in mechanisms of thievery that make it possible to destroy the state. So you can look at the arc of the last 70 years or whatever it is and say there's a direct cause and effect between what the existence of the unions and the destruction of the state. And every time they're pushing for a big tax increase, it's in order to pay, as Governor Malloy assures us, every single cent goes to pay that debt, not to fix up the infrastructure, not to make the schools better. You can't make the schools better because the money doesn't make it into the classroom. But they still around talking about how we need to improve the classroom. Sorry.
You're right. I mean, finally, it was to the point because John Roan and Jody Rell didn't pay into the pension fund. That's why we're stuck where we're at.
Nobody did. Nobody did. It's not just them. It's
no,
through
I
a
mean,
whole...
If they paid in, And they adjusted it or fixed it, then we wouldn't be in a bind we're at. I mean,
well, that's true.
Too.
That's
I
true,
mean,
but it's never been done. It's not just them. You're trying to make it seem like it's just them. They're
no,
they're
don't blame the state workers for because we have.
I haven't mentioned state workers. You're the only one bringing up state workers. I have not mentioned state workers. I am talking about this thing known as public sector unions, which serves no positive purpose except to help Democrats rig elections. That's what it's there for. It distorts the politics in the state, and it's ruined the finances of the state. I don't know how you can whitewash that. Yes, there are bad Republicans who act like Democrats. 860-522-9842, but it's a world Democrats built. I'm Todd Feinberg, WTIC. We are.
We ain't gonna take it.
But we do.
Oh, we're not gonna take it anymore.
What's that all about? It's so corrupt, it's unreal. And the worst part is what's right in front of everybody's faces. And I guess you just adapt to the crimes that are most normalized, that are the most visible, that are the most obvious, and the ones that got propagandized about. Oh, he's only sticking up for working families.
But more importantly, I'm a 23-year member and dues-paying member of AFSCME, which means me almost ready to retire in union time if I was hazardous duty, which I worked with directly to protect their rights. That's the most important aspect of my career. I would give up the political side of it in a minute and keep working to protect union members' rights on a daily basis in the state of Connecticut.
Hear that? He doesn't care about you. He cares about the union guys, the family, the Cosa Nostra. Why do people put up with this? Why does the state put up with this? 860-522-9842. Doug calling from Ellington. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing, Todd? Good to hear you. Listen, I'm listening to this guy from the union cry about how bad everything is. It's not their fault.
Are you talking about Rob, who called before?
Union dues goes to the Democrats. Well, he's mistaken. Maybe he should look a little bit closer. My daughter, when she opted out of the part that contributed to the unions, they gave her a percentage back of her union dues.
Yeah, what percentage was that, like 3%?
Oh, they made sure it was small because they said such a small amount goes. But it ended up being about $60 or $80 a year because she only works part time. But then when she opted out of the union completely, when she had the option to recently, she saved about $240 a year.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't believe that he doesn't think his money goes to the Democrats.
Well, he's, yeah, I guess he's naive about it because it sounds like he believes it. But
he
the whole
believe it. No, that's what kills me.
The whole thing is a partnership, a corrupt partnership that has destroyed the state. And for anybody to miss that and to miss the effect, for example, do you think Joe Arasimowicz, the union speaker, who won his most recent election by 37 votes, and that was with union support, that was with the troops there campaigning. It's a rigged system in which if you're one of the boys willing to say, nothing matters to me but you, the family, us. I put you first, the state second. That gets rewarded. 860-522-9842. John in Meriden. Hi, John.
Hello, sir. Great show as always.
Thank you, sir.
I'm not going to ask you how you are.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I promised, and my wife promised, nobody who works for the state of Connecticut a pension. It was put in there by some kind of law, and it can be removed by some kind of law. If they want a pension, they can save their own money. I'm tired, and my wife is tired, and Connecticut is tired of this pension problem. We, as taxpayers, did not promise anybody a pension.
Yes, it was only the gangsters in Hartford.
They should pay the pension.
Well, there's nobody's got that kind of money.
Well, then I'm sorry, neither do the taxpayers. We need a new law to stop this pension problem. My wife has worked 46 years, has no pension, unable to retire at the age of 62. We have to put money away for when I pass. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Nobody promised her a pension, and us taxpayers of Connecticut promised nobody a pension.
Well, there you go. John, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you, as always. 860-522-9842. I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden, but they planted one and they took it. You know, they took that rose garden. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. I wanted to say I've been working in the benefits business my entire career, and it's been a long one, unfortunately, I guess, fortunately. What does not exist today in the private sector is defined benefit pension plans,
yes,
where people get a fixed
dollar guaranteed amount,
per month. It just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
It was wiped out by ERISA, a law that was passed in 1984 due to Studebaker. And corporations are required to have an actuarial certification every year of the amount that they must contribute. And corporations follow the law. The state does not have to. The other things that do not exist in the corporate world, if there is a pension in the rare case, is maybe if you're lucky, you average the 5 years of earnings. State municipal employees in most cases are averaging their top five and they're adding in overtime. Nothing in the benefits world today allows people to add in bonuses, overtime, commissions. It's all based on base salary. So I don't know why these unions are blaming people who are underfunding the pension plan rather than recognizing that they are getting significantly, significantly better benefits than anybody else in the state of Connecticut.
Well, they're both valid points. So they're going to take the one, obviously, that reflects the least poorly on them. But you make a good point, too.
The benefits like that just don't exist. And this guy's, I agree with the guy from Meriden who just spoke. You know, the guy's crying about it. Well, don't blame John Rowland or whomever. What the Democrats need to do is negotiate better contracts with the union, where the unions are
contributing to the unions need to be eliminated moving forward. They don't exist for any incoming employees.
And anybody in the state believe that a Democrat's going to do that?
Well,
I don't think so.
The question is, can you even get a Republican to do it? That's the challenge, because the state is so rigged. And people tell me this all the time. Oh, it can never win. You know, everybody's behind unions because everybody's got a piece of the action. Well, that's a problem. But even those with a piece of the action, thank you for the call. I'm not yelling at you. I get riled up. Wisconsin, you know how they like to propagandize about Wisconsin? Like that's some demonic thing that Scott Walker did. Scott Walker is an angel who saved the state of Wisconsin. They were going down the tubes. They could have been Connecticut. And he stood up and had the courage to fight. And what did the, by the way, it's such an incredible lesson in how anti-American and communist and hateful the whole insider media machinery that controls the country is. Because everybody was going along with this thing that something horrible was happening in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the highest level of funding for their pension liabilities and benefit liabilities of any state in the country because of Scott Walker, the devil. 99% funded. Guess where Connecticut is on that list? Connecticut is at number four. Well, this is old. Connecticut's at number 47 here. I don't think this is the latest numbers. I think they're showing me old ones here. When is this from? Yeah, this is from last year. I don't know. But anyway, it gives you the flavor for how bad things are. It says Connecticut has funded 41% of its debt obligation. Here are the three states that are doing worse. Illinois, 36% funded. Kentucky, 31%. And New Jersey, 31%. So every other state but three is run more responsibly than the state of Connecticut. By a long shot, by the way. Connecticut, 41% funded. If you look at, go to the 25th. The 25th is Montana, 71%. So they're doing 30 points better. This is how bad it is. Mike, sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead.
How's it going?
Well, it's going.
So I hear you, make some references. And kind of made me laugh thinking about it, because
what made you laugh?
The Dems are criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And you said La Cosa Nostra,
yep.
Right? The family. So, mm-hmm.
Well, that's what.
So why
did
not
you hear
throw,
Joe say
why
that?
Not slap a little RICO on them and be done with all this?
I don't know. If the will were there, I think that would be. This is a criminal conspiracy across the United States.
That Trump's. Attorney. He was in the head in the 80s of holding that RICO statute.
Yeah. Well, I don't
he can't
I, you know.
Come a little nostalgic and bring it back on a certain few?
Well, it sounds good to me. I don't think it's gone away. The RICO laws are still there.
Yeah, for certain people.
Yes. So what's your laughter about just that it can never happen? Is that why you're laughing?
Yeah. Well, no, I just think how ironic it is that how corrupt everything is and where's all the money come from and all the. The in and out of this and that, and then you have the guy that prosecuted the mob in the 80s as president's attorney.
Mm. Well,
it seems kind of funny to me that he doesn't have a good memory of what he did in the 80s. He can't do that again today.
I don't know. What a politician does, like Giuliani, who knows what he was actually up to and what he made happen? I don't know. But
right.
They're all insiders, and the powerful take care of each other. And nobody wants to make waves, and nobody wants to expend their political capital doing what's right if they could be doing better for themselves by doing something other than what's right.
Well, absolutely.
And that's
absolute
the situation
power
I think
corrupts, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I think we're at. Thank you for the call, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Hey, no problem, man. Take care.
All right, take care. 860-522-9842.
Stand together, stand as brothers and sisters, and be a family, and make sure we're looking out for our own. Thank you.
Make sure We are looking out for our own. Our own is not you. That's not our own. Our own is the family, the gangsters, the insiders, the ones who Union Joe says he's doing it all for.
Aspect of my career, I would give up the political side of it in a minute and keep working to protect union members' rights on a daily basis in the state of Connecticut.
He doesn't care about his job as speaker. He hates it, as some people say. And he's getting out. He, you know, this is his last term. He didn't run for re-election. Well, he's not running for re-election, I should say. So who fixes it? Well, not him. He's devoted to the opposite. 860-522-9842. Join in the conversation. Why do you put up with this? What can be done? Does any of this anger you, or do you not care? I'm Todd Feinberg, WTIC. Talking about the rigged system. Listening to Union Speaker Joe Arasimowitz talk about how devoted he is to unions. He doesn't work for the state. He works for the unions. That's what he cares about most.
So one of the things I swore to myself is I wasn't going to let it happen here in Connecticut.
He's talking about Wisconsin.
I would do as many tours of this state, including Middletown, CSEA locals, AFSCME, CEUI, anybody I could talk to ensure that that would never happen in Connecticut.
To make sure Connecticut was never saved from the strangleholds of unions like happened in Wisconsin, which now is in the best financial condition of any state in the country with regard to unfunded liabilities because they didn't have the rigged Union Joe Arasimowitz system. 860-522-9842. Let's go to Avon for Robert next. Hi, Robert.
Hi. I'd like to make a comment or two in defense of the unions. You know, a lot of the people that are calling in, they're so I don't belong to a union. They're so misinformed. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, I know people that have a pension, and I respect it, and I think it's great. But the thing is that a lot of these people, they took their pay. They went without a portion of their pay for 30 or 40 years so they could collect a pension. So if somebody happens to be very free and fancy free, and they don't want to plan for their later years, then they should suffer. But to point their finger at you or me and say it's wrong, it's not wrong.
I'm not sure what you're saying. Hold on, Robert.
Sure.
The problem is that you look at the profiles of some people who are getting ready to retire, and you see that they're likely to get a couple $1 million over the course of their retirement, and they paid in 140 or 150. And those kinds of issues are not sustainable dynamics. You can't structure things that way. In the private sector, you pay your own way to your retirement. In the public sector, for some reason, the guy who's driving to work, making $35,000 or $45,000 a year, getting no pension, he's got to pay the people who work for him premium for their retirement. How does that make any sense? Why should there not be a market-driven wage and benefit system for state workers so that there is respect shown to the people who are paying those retirements?
Let me take you back to 29 and 30 when we didn't have Social Security.
No, I don't want to hear about back then. I want to hear about right now. Why should the state be $100 billion in the hole and have nothing to show for it?
Okay. Then why should I have to pay Social Security so you can collect it?
You don't. You pay it so you can collect
it. I do pay Social Security.
And you pay it so that you can collect it.
No, it goes into one pot.
It does go into one pot, but the reason... And by the way, it was designed to be... It was designed to be a retirement plan, not a social program. But the compassion crowd got involved and ruined that because they love us so much. They just love us so much. 860-522-9842. This is indefensible. There is no defense for bankrupting a state so a few people can live high off the hog. There is no defense for that.